right, my brothers and sisters, thank you for joining in today at the ABCs of Christian Growth and our studies of the ABCs, of what our Bibles say and what God's Word says. Today we're going to be going into our study of the letter Q and possibly finishing up this letter today, study number 17, and going on into our next letter, the following recording, if the Lord will. We're not going to rush it. We're just going to learn God's Word and what it says and how we can be pleasing to our Lord. There's a few things I told you as we was doing this study that I know you ain't going to believe it, but sometimes I can mess things up. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but I can. And I told you that if I messed anything up or said anything wrong, I'd correct it. Well, our last study, why do I sometimes go through trials? That's what we're going to start today. But what should I do about my worries? When we were studying that, we got down to the very last end of it, and you probably caught me when I was doing it. But sometimes when I'm doing these studies, I'm referencing off of my studies, my actual studies themselves. And I have the scriptures written out and the study written out, just like I had offered to you if you wanted them to go by. Well, sometimes, and you wouldn't believe, you probably would, being a Christian, believe that the enemy attacks you when you're trying to make these things perfect where you can teach them. Well, the very last scripture and the very last point that we went over was we were talking about what are some evils of being careful, of being full of care, being careful, remember? The first one was it chokes the word, and the second thing that we went over was that it overwhelms the soul. And the third one was that it causes foolish excuses. And then that last one was it hinders Christ's work. It hinders Christ's work. And we read the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And as we read it, it said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Okay. And then we had one more scripture I wanted to read to you. And it was Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. And I indeed did read it. But it wasn't Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 34. As I was reading that thing, and you could probably tell by listening to me, as I was reading that, the scripture did not go along with our subject. It didn't make any sense, but I didn't have time to stop and really didn't know what to do. I just went on with the scripture, and when we got finished with it, I just carried on through it, and I was going to figure it out in a minute. But I didn't want to stop our recording, and these recordings are live, and I'm not going to, unless there's a major malfunction on my end, and there's going to be some bunch of small ones, and I think it's better for us just to do this live, and you see my mistakes and let me correct them. We'll move on. That way you know there's a living and breathing person on the other side of this. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34, and what I read to you on that last recording, that last verse before we finished up and quit, was not Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. It started out with verse 24, and then I don't know what I ended up with on the other part, but I tracked it down, and I put the correct scripture in there, and I want to give it to you. I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll get on into today's study. But I didn't give you the scriptures last week either, so let me do that, okay? And then when we finish that, I'll read that scripture to you, and we'll find out that it hinders Christ's work. What are some evils of being careful? Caring too much about things as in our Christian walk and in our Christian lives. Well, it hinders Christ's work. Okay, so what should I do about my worries? Here are the scriptures. Psalm 127, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Matthew chapter 13, verse 7 and 22. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke chapter 14, verse 18 through 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And then the last one was Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. Now, what are some evils of being careful or over much concern or being overly concerned or careful of something that's driving you nuts? Well, it hinders Christ's work. Listen to what the Scripture says. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, I read that last week, and that was correct. But after we got past this, I was messing everything up. But here's the correct Scripture. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now that scripture matches perfectly. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying concerning what are some evils of being too careful. And the Lord gives us permission in that scripture right there not to be overly concerned about the cares of this life, and he told us not even to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and what our clothes and things like that. The Lord said that our Father knows what we have need of these things, and he's going to give them to us, and he does. So it hinders Christ's work. We get to worrying about things and worrying where we're going to get clothes, where we're going to get food, where we're going to get this and that, and get overly concerned about it. Then it hinders what we're supposed to really be doing for the Lord. Does that make sense to you? Well, good. So I cleared that up for you, and there's the scriptures. So now let's move on into our study for today. And what we're going to talk about is ask a question in the letter Q, and it's our last question for this study. Why do I sometimes go through trials? Why do I sometimes go through trials? Well, when it comes to trials in the Christian life, it's completely different than unsaved people. Unsaved people don't the Lord does not use trials in unsaved people's lives and work in their lives as he does with his family. And that's us. The Lord uses trials for us. Now, trials are not to test our faith and make us fail. Get that right to begin with. The Lord never tempts us to fail at anything. He never wants us to fail at anything. And he never does anything to try to get us to fail at anything. And you'll see in the scriptures that the Lord wouldn't do that to us. He doesn't upbraid men. He don't embarrass us, and he don't make fun of us. The Lord is interested in making us better and conforming us into the image of His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's sincere about His work with us because He loves us. And you're going to find that out the longer that you live for the Lord and the closer that you draw to His Word. Now, all believers are going to pass through trials in their life on this earth. The Scripture tells us that. The Scripture talks about trials all over the place in the Scriptures for the born-again believers, for the people that have been born again. The Lord doesn't spend any time, and the Lord does not spend the time that He spends and the concern that He spends. The Lord's interested in His family. That's what He's interested in, and He's interested in what Jesus died for. And He's interested in a king, and He's interested in a kingdom, and His Son getting what's coming to Him, and what He earned when He came down here and died. And He's interested in setting Jesus on the throne that He deserves, and taking care of the ones that come to the Lord while we're still here on this earth. As far as the lost, and as far as the ungodly, the Lord has made provisions for everybody to be able to be saved. The Lord died for all men. And if you don't want Jesus, He don't want you. That's it. You never see the Lord going out of His way begging anybody to come to Him. If they turned and walked away from Him, so be it. You never seen that. And the Lord never begged anybody. The Lord made provision. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And every now and then when I'm saying these scriptures and quoting them, I might hiccup and say one of the wrong words. Don't you think I've done abandoning the faith, okay? You just, if you want to correct me, and that'll be, and I'll appreciate that, and I'll get it right. But it happens every now and then. Sometimes I'll hiccup because I can't remember one word or something like that, but it's in my heart, okay? All believers will pass through trials in this life, on this earth while we're here. Now, when we get to heaven, things are going to be different. When we get our bodies and we're perfected and we're have the minds of Christ and we have a glorious body like unto the Lord's glorious body, things are going to be completely different. It's not going to be like here. The Scriptures tell us about these things and these trials that we're going to be going through, and it shouldn't be no surprise to you. The Lord tells us that also. And I know that you don't like trials, and I don't like them either. I don't like being, faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Now, that's not Bible, but that's good advice. That's good. That's a good saying. That's true. If your faith is as good as you say it is, and you want it to be the way you say it is, then it needs to be tested. Because the only way that, and that's even with materials, that's even with the military, they call it the testing ground, the proving ground. When they make weapons and they make bombs and they make munitions and things like that, the first place that them things go is out on the proving ground, out on the testing ground. And they take them out there to test them to see if they are going to stand the test of what they're making them for. And when the Lord's molding us into being the Christian and being the Son of God and the children, the body of Christ, and perfecting us, and each one of us has a different place in the body, and we have our different measures, and the Lord perfects us. He perfects the saints, but He perfects us individually according to what God the Holy Ghost's will is for in our lives. He'll test me on different things than He'll test you on, because you have a different mission for the Lord than I do as far as us being in the body together. You might be the brain of the body, and I might be the toe or whatever. You see what I'm saying? All of us have different functions in the body, and the Lord tests us accordingly. Now, there's many things the Lord has recorded for us to study concerning trials. Because trials are a large part of being a Bible believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials come from many different reasons. Trials come for many different reasons in many, many different areas. Some trials come from Satan. Some from other people. Some from our own doing. And some from life in general. And some from the Lord. Trials. You shouldn't think of trials when you think of trials when it comes to your walk and comes to your relationship with the Lord and your relationship as a Christian. You shouldn't think of trials as, maybe I'm going to go through a trial. Maybe I'll go through a test. Expect a test. Expect a trial. It's coming. You're going to be tested. And you're not going to be tested to make you fail. Now, the enemy does that, and the haters of God do that. But the Lord is behind. He's the author of everything. He's behind everything, whether Satan's doing it just like he done to Job. Satan was the active one that was performing the trials and the tests on Job, but the Lord was behind it, and the Lord was controlling it. And the same way with you. He's not going to let anything happen to you that he's not going to give you a way out. The Bible tells us that very plainly, and we'll see that. But the first thing is there's about, I think we've got about 12 things that we want to talk about here concerning why do I go through some trials, and look at some scripture and see what the Lord says about it and what to expect and why to expect it. So the first thing we want to do is read some scripture. Now, I don't know if you're going through any trials right now. If I had to say yes or no about me personally, I'm going through one that I've never been through before, right this very second. I've never been through this sort of trial that I'm going through right now, and it's been real taxing on me, and I've had to make some adjustments in my thinking and in my heart, and I see where the Lord's teaching me, and I think I see some of the things that he's teaching me through this, but the actual trial itself is driving me nuts. And but that's part of it. A trial that don't have any pressure on it. I mean, a pressure cooker, that's what it does. It makes pressure. And a trial that doesn't have any kind of trial in it or have any kind of testing in it, it's not a trial at all. It's got to test you, man. Got to find out what you're made of. And find out where your heart's at and whether you mean it. And if you do, then you won't mind. Then it'll it's kind of like, I think I heard somebody say one time, it's kind of, trials are kind of like a sponge. You don't know what's in it until you squeeze it. You know, when you squeeze it, you find out what's inside of it. And that's kind of like what a trial is to us. The Lord's not squeezing us to hurt us. He's squeezing us to find out what's really inside of us and what we really mean and what we're really, how we're really going to react to things. And if you say, it's easy to say, I love you, Lord. And it's easy to tell your wife, I love you. It's easy to tell your husband, I love you. But when you start getting squeezed, the real McCoy comes out, don't it? And that's what these trials are about. But you got to remember that all things work together for the good, you see. And the Lord's told us that. And trials do also. The Lord's intention with trials are not to harm us. It's to make us better. The Lord doesn't need to be any better. And he doesn't need any more information on us. He knows us. He wants us to react the way that we would be pleased with, as reacting toward our Lord, if you get what I'm saying, trying to say. The Lord is already pleased because we're part of his family. And he loves us in that way. But just like you do your children and you test them to make sure that they're going to, that they're learning the things that they need to learn, and it's not just on the outside, but it's penetrating the heart. The same thing the Lord does to us. He tests us so that the truth will penetrate our hearts, and that it'll saturate us, and it'll become part of us, and we'll be able to be, and it makes us stronger. It makes us stronger. And there are lots of things involved in that. Let's read some scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice." Now, you'd think somebody wrote something wrong in there right about there, didn't you? "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." And on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Did you get that? The Bible says that we're going to go through not only some trials, but we're going to go through some fiery trials. I mean, these trials are going to get serious. They're going to get hot. They're going to be, it's not going to be comfortable with them. It's not going to be something that you're going to enjoy, because it's going to cause you to be a partaker of Christ's sufferings. The Bible says in another place that it's appointed. We have appointments with this thing in this matter. It's appointed for us to suffer for Christ's sake. And in another place, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his fleshly state, that he learned obedience by what? By suffering. He learned obedience by suffering. And that's one way that we learn how to be obedient to the Lord, is going through trials and suffering through trials. You say, well, what kind of God makes you suffer? Well, what kind of God sends his son to suffer for sinners? It's just the way it is. And it's the way that God has made things. And it's if the Son of God died for us and suffered innocently, then isn't it fair for the Lord to be right there, to keep us safe, and to watch over us, and to send us through trials to make us more like his Son, and perfect us in our faith, and love us in a way to where he molds us into the image of his Son, to where we begin loving ourselves and what God's making us? And if he wants to do it through suffering, so be it, Lord. Right? And nobody said you got to like it, but it's going to happen. And if you're going through suffering right now, and you're going through some trials right now that are fiery, you're right on schedule if you're born again. Now, a lot of times, this is what determines whether a Christian's going to keep on being faithful to the Lord and his allegiance to the Lord, or whether he's going to abandon ship. Because there's a lot, these trials and the tribulations that you have to go through as a Christian in this world cause Christians to abandon ship and go back into the world for a little while. And then the Lord, and then they'll have enough of it, and they'll come back to the Lord, and the Lord will start class over again. You see? The best thing is just to hang in there. Learn what the Lord's teaching you. Suffer like the Lord wants you to suffer, and know that he's there for you, and that you're going to come out of it, and everything's going to be fine, and then you're going to be given glory to the Lord, and you're going to glorify God through how you come out of it. The Bible says, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. In other words, God's a glory. When you're suffering for Christ's sake and you're being reproached for the name of Christ, you're doing something right. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. Now, the first thing the enemy wants to tell you when you're being tried and the Lord's in charge of it is he wants to tell you if you've done something wrong and you've offended God and God's punishing you and blabbity, 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 blab. And he does that. Excuse me. He does that every time. You know, there might not be nothing wrong with your relationship with the Lord at all. You might be right on schedule as far as going through a trial. And the Lord's trying your faith. And you've not done anything wrong at all. That's very real and it's very valid. It's scriptural. The Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Like, what's going on? And I'm guilty of that. Man, as soon as I start getting into a trial or something starts getting different in my walk with the Lord, out of my comfort zone, if you will, my flags go to flying, red flags going up all over the place. What have I done wrong, Lord? What this, what that? And we all do. But the Bible says you don't have to do that. Because if you're not trying to hide anything from the Lord, and you're not walking disobedient to the Lord, and you know if you are, and you're confessing your sin like the Lord said and told us to do, and you're doing these things, then you have no reason to think that you're doing anything wrong between you and the Lord. And if something's trying you, then it's probably a test and it's probably a trial to make you better. Okay? So the Bible says, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14, we are not to think of fiery trials as what? As strange. As strange. But we are to do what? We are to rejoice. We're to rejoice. And that's easier said than done. But nevertheless, that's what the Bible says about trials. So we've learned something to begin with here. That trials are coming. They're going to be fiery. They're going to be for the right reason. They're going to be authored by the Lord. Even if the enemy's doing it, it's going to be authored by the Lord. And it's going to be to give glory to God. And you're going to be happy out of it. Because the Spirit of God rests on you and the glory of God rests upon you. And that's what you want. That's what you want. Isn't that what you want? Sure it is. A second thing is 1 Peter chapter 1. Now we're talking about why do I sometimes go through trials? Well, first thing is because it's appointed to you. Okay? They're coming. They're fire. They're going to be fiery. And it don't mean that you've done anything wrong. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's possible for you to be going through more than one trial at the same time, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, now listen to this, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, there's that fire again, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, the Bible's not teaching us that you go through trials so that you can earn your salvation and that your soul will be saved in the end. You're already saved. That's why you're going through trials. It's because you're born again and part of God's family. But it's just talking about when your trials are coming to the end and you see Jesus, you want to see him at his appearing, and you want to see him in such a way to where the Lord is proud of you and that the Lord has received glory because of that the trying of with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory for the Lord whenever the Lord shows up and says, well done. Well done. Because, see, one thing about suffering is nobody let me say this in a Christian realm. Nobody in a Christian realm, as far as learning and going through the suffering and the trials that the Lord sends us through, signs up for it. You see? So when you bear down and go through the suffering and learn the things that the Lord wants you to learn, and you go through the trials and you successfully go through the trials and you go through them and you learn and you mature and you grow, you do it on purpose and you do it with intent. And you bear down and you grit your teeth and you get through it. And that's something that gives glory to God, because you did it on purpose and you did it for his glory. Because you could have quit. And I'm not saying that's an option, but some people do. But they have to, after they get beat up in the world for a little while, they have to come right back and start over. And the Lord's still going to teach you no matter how long it takes. You're one of his youngins and he loves you. So according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, trials are what? Trials are precious events in our lives because they purify our faith in God. They purify us. And they're precious. Did you hear what the scripture said? It says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So not only is your trials are precious. Why do I sometimes go through trials? Because they purify your faith. Because God counts them as precious to him. Thirdly, James chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Saying different kinds of temptations. Divers in the Bible means different. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Did you hear that? Knowing that the trial of your faith worketh what? Patience. And I've heard so many people say, don't pray for me for patience. Well, you don't have to pray for it. The Lord's going to try you about it, and he's going to teach you patience. And patience is a good thing to have. Isn't it? Do you have more patience than you used to? You have no choice if you're going to grow old. You learn patience, don't you? In this society that we're living in today, they have no patience at all. There is no patience in the world today. This is a right here, right now, this instant kind of society that we live in right now. And but that's not got anything to do with our relationship with the Lord and who we are. We want what the Bible says, and we want to be like what the Lord says. And the Lord said when it comes to trials, that to count it all joy, because it's going to teach you patience. It's going to teach you patience. And while teaching us how to be patient and entire and to endure. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. I mean, the Lord's always got something. There's a reward for it. There's a reward for your trials. The Bible says the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Do you love the Lord? Sure you do. Do you love him enough to suffer for him? Sure you do. The thing that's hard for us is to get the joy in place. Isn't it? And the Bible says, happy are ye. You see, we have to get situated to where we can find it happy that we suffer for Christ's sake. And I'm not laughing about this because it's silly. I'm laughing about it because it's true. And these are the things that we need to learn. And it said that it says to count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So another reason why we go through trials is patience. It's for patience. And that's not all. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, when you're in one of them theaters, and you're sitting in one of them theaters, and you're going in there to watch one of them movies or something, I don't know whether you've been in one. I've been in one. I hadn't been in one in a long, long time. But say you're going to watch the movie. It's real dark in there, ain't it? And say you're sitting in one of them theaters, real dark, and you're waiting for the movie to start and for it to come on, and it's real dark in there. And all you can see is the outline of people's heads and in the darkness and stuff like that. And say something happened, an alarm went off, and you had to exit that place real fast. What's the first thing that you'd look for? I mean, what would you be thinking if you had to get out of there real quick? And you're in the dark, and you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's going on around you. What's the first thing you start looking for? You'd be looking for them little red signs that say exit, wouldn't you? Because that's the way you get out. That's the escape. That's kind of like what our trials are like. We're sitting in a dark place, not because we're walking in darkness, but because we're going through trials. And we're going through a temptation. And it's dark to us. And you're sitting there and you don't know what's going on. You don't know why it's going on. You don't know all these things. But the Lord said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You're not going to experience anything that hadn't already happened to somebody else. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. He's not going to put more on you to smash you down and cripple you than you can carry. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So when you're going through them trials and them temptations, the Bible teaches us that one thing that we need to do is look for the escape. The Lord just promised us that when we go through them temptations, that He's also going to make a way to escape the temptation. No matter what kind of temptation it is, the Lord said He's faithful, and whether the devil's doing it or whether anybody else is doing it or whether the Lord's authoring it or whatever's going on, He's going to make a way for you to escape. And when you're going through the temptations and the trials, why do I sometimes go through trials? So we can learn to trust the Lord and look for the escape. Because even if you wasn't being matured and you wasn't going through the trials for a reason, all the people in the world are tried. Everybody in the world's tried and tempted. You don't think there's people, everybody in the world is tempted, but they don't have a God behind them supporting them. We do. And He promised us that He'll give us a way to escape and get out of that situation, that ye may also, that ye may be able to bear it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." The Lord knows how to get us out of temptations, and He does. Hadn't He got you out of temptations before? Hadn't He given you a way to escape before? That's one thing that we need to do, brothers and sisters. Now, in your own words, explain the promise of God that God gives you when trials and temptations and testings come. What's God promise you in that verse? He promises you that He's going to make a way of escape for you, that you'll be able to bear it. So what you do is look for the escape. And that's not all. Why do I sometimes go through trials? Well, here's another thing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now, what's the reason? Why do we have the okay from the Lord to fear not what man may do to us? We don't have to be scared of men. A lot of our temptations and our trials and our tests come from people. And we don't have to be scared of that. We don't have to be scared of people. The Bible says to let our conversation be without covetousness and to be content with such things as we have. For the Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, either God's telling the truth or He's lying to us. Let me ask you a question. I don't know how long you've been a Christian, and I don't know how long you've walked with the Lord, and where you're at in your walk, but has the Lord ever lied to you? Has he ever left you? And I didn't say that He ever was quiet and you wondered where He was at. I said, has He ever left you and you knew He left you? No, He hasn't. The Lord is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And the Bible says also that for He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why do I sometimes go through trials? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to this. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, there's a fact that's don't want that you probably don't want to do a couple somersaults about with joy, but it's true. If you're going to live, now listen to what the verse says. Yea, and all that will, it's your choice, it's your will, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, there's a difference. There's two different kinds of Christians there. Remember when we was talking a while ago and I was talking about somebody abandoning ship? We learn. The Bible says that all will live godly. There's a difference in being a Christian and living godly, and a difference in being a Christian and not living godly. The ones that are not living godly, they're not suffering persecution, because the Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're sincere and you're going to live godly as a Christian, you're not just going to be saved and be on your way to heaven and that be, and then wait until you get to heaven and make an excuse for how you live down here, but you're going to live godly because your allegiance and your devotion is to your Lord, and you appreciate what He's done for you and you want to be pleasing to Him. You're going to live godly. You're going to suffer persecution. The world's going to persecute you. Jesus said, it hated me and it's going to hate you if you're going to live godly. Now, if you want to do like some of them Pharisees in the Gospels, and you want to you or some Christians, and you want to be a hidden Christian, you're a Christian, but you're not living godly. See, the world's not going to bother you. They're not going to persecute you if you're living like them. But if you start living godly, they're going to start persecuting you. Why do I sometimes go through trials? Because you live in godly. Because you live in godly. The Bible says that if you're going to live godly, all that will live godly shall, not maybe, shall suffer persecution. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't either. But that's the way it is. You have one choice or another. Either you can live godly or you can get in there and mingle with the world, and then the Lord's going to get on you. Because the Lord's jealous. And if you get in there playing around with the world and you start living like the world, you know what you're going to smell like and what you're going to look like. You're going to be filthy. And the Lord ain't going to like that. And He's going to take you out of there and whatever it takes. If he needs to scourge you, He'll scourge you. And He's going to clean you back up so you won't be condemned with the world. He don't want His children being compared with the children of darkness. Because you're not a child of darkness. You're a child of light. And you should walk as children of light, the Bible says. But the Bible says for us to count it all joy and to be happy about it, because God Himself is spending time with you. And that's not all. So what's the reason that we may suffer trials and persecution and ridicule? Because you're living godly. Not because you're doing anything wrong. Because that's the way it is when you live godly. In a filthy, nasty, ungodly, wicked, that's going to burn and go into the oven world. The Lord's coming to judge this place. He's not coming down here to have no stinking convention with nobody. He's coming down here to make war. What's going on right now is the period of grace where he's allowing everybody that wants to get on his side and be born again and get in his family have the opportunity to do it. But when that's over and the door shuts, grace is over. He's coming back to clean house. That's not all. Acts chapter 5. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, of course, we know that that's, I believe that was Saul and Barnabas, I think. I think it was them, but they were in jail, and they got a whooping. They got a whooping and they suffered shame. They made fun of them and shamed them. But there's a difference. Now listen to this. There's a difference in suffering shame for the Lord's name and being ashamed of the Lord's name. There's a difference. These fellas suffered shame for his name. People shamed them. Shame on you, you Christ lover, you. But they were not ashamed of him. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they sung hymns, and they sung hymns while the blood was flowing off of them. And it says, when they were let go, it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Why do I sometimes go through trials? So that you can suffer for the Lord and you can give him glory by suffering shame for his name, because it shows all the unbelievers and shows the mockers and the scoffers that the people that follow Jesus Christ, that he is real and that he is a good Lord. And that there are people that indeed love him and are devoted to him. What did them apostles feel when they was persecuted? Well, their flesh felt pain. But they felt rejoicing. They rejoiced. Ain't easy when you're going through these trials and stuff like that, but when you get to the other side of them and you get out the other side, aren't you glad you stuck to your guns? Aren't you glad you give glory to the Lord, that you didn't give in, that you didn't compromise, you didn't make concessions about your faith in the one that you know you love and that is real? Aren't you glad and you rejoice in your heart about it? Sure we do. Sure we do. You go through trials so you can rejoice. Now, this is not stuff that the world thinks. The world thinks all this stuff is foolishness. They think this stuff is ignorant. But they're wrong. And that's not all. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 18 through 22. Listen to this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. You see, when Jesus came and he preached for those 3.5 years before they murdered him, what he was doing was taking their cloak off of their sin, and they couldn't hide anymore. And when you're living godly, you ain't got to say a word. And when you're around people and you're living godly, that removes their cloak. And they can't hide their sin anymore. And they get angry at you about that. And they persecute you. And they hate you for that. Because that's the offense. That's one of the offenses of the cross. Is that Jesus came and died. And he didn't die in vain. He died for a reason. Because all men are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all men need to be saved. But all men do not want to be saved. And all men do not want their sin to be uncovered. But when you're living godly, and you're living in this world like a godly person and a Christian should live, and you're suffering persecution, they're going to hate you because you're uncovering their sin just by living godly. And when you go through those trials, and it shows how real your God is, and the suffering you go through, and it shows how real your God is, it uncovers their sin. And they hate you for that. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. They hated me. They're going to hate you. What's the Lord say? He says the servant is not greater than his what? Lord. If whatever happened to the Lord here, and he says it's going to happen to us. He said they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. So don't let it be a surprise to you. Expect it. I mean, don't go looking for it. It'll come to you. It's just like one fella just got brand new saved, and one of the preachers that I have a lot of respect for, he said when he got saved, he said he used to drink booze with this one guy, and he was in a radio station, and they used to get off every day and go to the bar and drink together. And he told that preacher, he said, well, how am I going to get rid of this guy that I used to drink with? He's going to want to drink with me. He said, don't worry about it. And when he finds out you got, he said, are you ashamed of the Lord? He said, no. He said, well, go tell him that you got saved, and he won't be around you no more. And he said he did. He said he went back to that radio station, and the guy come by and said, hey, you want to go get a beer tonight? And he said, hey, come here, I want to talk to you a minute. And he took him in the back room and shut the door and turned around and said, hey, have you ever got saved? He said, what's the matter with you? You got religion or something? He said, no, I just got saved. He said, that guy shot out of that door, and he ain't never talked to him again. Turned into an instant enemy. Either on one side or the other. In or out, up or down, salt or pepper, black or white. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. That's not all. Here's another one. John chapter 14. What we're talking about here, brothers and sisters, is why not go through... The question is why do I sometimes go through trials? A lot of good reasons, mostly good reasons why you go through trials. But in John chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, what does Jesus give to the Christian that the world cannot know, it cannot understand, and it cannot have? The Lord doesn't just leave us here and let us go through trials, but He supports us, He helps us, He makes escapes for us, and He not only that, He cheers us. He says He gives us peace. And it's not peace like the world calls peace. There's no such thing as peace in this world. The world's looking for peace here and peace there, and there is no peace, the Bible says, with exception of being born again. There's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. There's no words for it. You can't explain it to somebody, but it's there. And when you're living godly, and you're going through trials and tribulations, and you're growing, and the Lord, and you're being obedient to the Lord and devoted to Him, the Lord gives us peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace, Jesus' peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm glad he said that, aren't you? Excuse me. So Jesus gives the Christian peace. He gives us peace that the world has no understanding about. They have no idea. Matter of fact, it confuses them. They wonder, what is it about that person that they can go through something like that, or they can take this garbage that I'm throwing at them and have the peace that they have? They can't understand it. And the Lord is faithful, isn't He? Why do I sometimes go through trials? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him. And we talked about that on the last question. For He careth for you. When we have troubles and we have trials and tribulations, that's not a time to walk away from the Lord and disassociate yourself with the Lord, or get mad at the Lord, or angry at the Lord. The trial is for your good. The Lord's behind it. He ain't never going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to be there. He wants us to rejoice and learn how to have joy in these times, because they're for our good and they give glory to our God. They help us to have patience and to overcome and to grow. And the Lord gives us peace in the midst of the storm. And He does. And He offers us to cast all our care upon Him, and He promises us that He cares for us. And I know He does for me. Don't you know that? That He does for you? I think the biggest complaint that we probably have is that, Lord, why has it got to be suffering and persecution? But you know, the Lord is perfect, and He's righteous, and He makes the right choices, the right decisions all the time. That's why He's righteous. He never makes the wrong decision. And He won't make it with you. You just have to be strong. Now, what are some things trials are designed to do? Well, trials are designed to test our faith. To test our faith. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 through 12, it tells us. And it says, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 12. Listen to what it says. Now, what we're talking about is, what are some things trials are designed to do for us? Well, to test our faith, of course. We've been over some scripture already that shows us that, and shows us that God is faithful to us and that there's a reason behind these things. But Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1 through 12 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. You see that? It's to test our faith. You see, the Lord said that he wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. And when we do that, everything in our life falls in place perfectly. When we have God first in everything and don't have anything hidden that's before him. And the Lord tested Abraham to see if he loved his son more than he loved the Lord, because if he did, he would have withheld him from God to keep from killing him. But Abraham told those fellows before he went up there with Isaac, he told them, he said, me and my boy's going to come back to you in a little bit. So Abraham had faith in the Lord. Now, did he know that God was going to keep him from killing him? No, he didn't know that. But he knew that God was going to have to do something, because he had already made him a promise that Isaac was going to live and that he was going to carry the promise over to Isaac. You see, so he was going on the basis of what the Lord had already told him, and putting his faith in the Lord and trusting him and just doing what God says. And the Lord stopped him. And he said, now I know. Because when he raised that knife up, the Lord doesn't look on the outer appearance like man does. The Lord looks at the heart. And the Lord knew that Abraham in his heart was fixing to slay that boy and obey the Lord. Did Abraham want to do it? Probably not. But was he going to obey the Lord? The Lord said he was. He looked on his heart and he said, now I know. And you see, some of the trials that we go through are designed to do that, so that the Lord can see that you mean it in your heart. That's not all. What are some things trials are designed to do? They're test our faith, but not only that, but to bring us to a better place. In Psalm chapter 66 and verse 10 through 12, the Bible says, For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. To bring us to a better place. A lot of times, the route where God wants us to be, or to end up, the wealthy place that God wants us to end up, is going to require us to go through fire and to go through affliction. And that's the path that we have to go to get to the wealthy place, you see. And that's not all. What are some things that trials are designed to do? To test our faith, to bring us to a better place, and to chasten and correct us. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. If you ain't getting a whooping, you ain't in God's family. I ain't saying you always getting a whooping, but one reason that we go through some trials is to chasten you and correct you. Now, the Lord has corrected me with trials. He's corrected me. I can tell you about some of them. And I thank him for them. And when they're over with, you will too. Because they make you better. And they fix things that aren't right in you. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, the Bible says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. You say, Brother TV, I don't like that. I don't either. But it sure brings you out. It brings you out shining. It gets all the dross off out of the silver and out of the gold, and it purifies you. And it is, because that's the way the Lord does it. He doesn't do it that way all the time, but if he needs to whip you and he needs to correct you and needs to chasten you, he does. And sometimes trials are designed to do that. Now, the last thing we want to talk about this, and what we're talking about, is the last question in our study of 17, study number 17, questions often asked, why do I sometimes go through trials, is this. What are some characteristics of trials? Well, one of them is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 through 10. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, this is Paul talking. He said, man, we was pressed out of measure. The trial was so bad that we even wanted to die, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. What are some characteristics of trials? Some trials are very severe. Paul said so. He just told us that, man, this thing was so bad that he was pressed out of measure. He was pressed above strength. He didn't have the strength to bear this thing. So don't be surprised. Some trials might get to where you might have to say to the Lord, I can't take this no more. And maybe you already have. I have. But the Lord is faithful. He delivers us every time. Paul said that he put his trust not in himself, but he put it in God. That if this trial that we're going through that is pressing us above measure, that if we die in it, that God will raise the dead. We know God can raise the dead. So some are very severe. What's another characteristic of trials? Why, you say, Brother TV, the question is, why do I sometimes go through trials? because of the characteristics of them. Some of them are very severe, and they can be severe. That's not why you go through them, but that's a characteristic of some of them. And that's not all. One of them is found in Job, chapter 2 and verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like unto him, or like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man?" Did you hear what God described this man as? Perfect and upright. "One that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." One characteristic of a trial is like Job there. The causes of it are sometimes unknown. We don't know why it's going on. Some of them are very severe, and sometimes we don't have any idea and can't figure out for the life of us why this thing is happening. That's a characteristic of a trial. Perhaps you've gone through something like that. But the Lord is faithful. He, you know, in the Scripture, I don't think the Lord ever told Job why he put him through that, or why he let him go through that. I don't think he ever told him. He taught Job some valuable things and helped Job and then rewarded him. But I don't think he ever discussed why he let it happen. Sometimes the causes are unknown. Everything can't be explained. The Lord knows, and that's what we have to trust in. Another characteristic of trials is that some can be physical. They're not all spiritual. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles and another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and another diverse kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues." And you know what? That thing that I explained to you just happened again. I got the wrong verse written down there, and that had nothing to do with what we was talking about. Let me give you the right verse. I told you the right verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, but I've got the wrong scripture written down for that. Let me read you the right scripture. 2 Corinthians, okay, and what we're talking about is what are some characteristics of trials. Some are very severe. Some causes are sometimes unknown, and some can be physical. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. The Bible says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Sometimes we go through trials so that the Lord can make us weak physically, so that we can be strong spiritually. Isn't that what Paul just got through saying? The Lord gave him a thorn It doesn't say what it is. Some people think it was his eyesight. Some people think it's some other things, and I tend to think it was something else too. I think it was some memories that he had of the way he treated Christians, and the devils were tormenting him. It says that it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And I believe that there was a devil that the Lord allowed to follow Paul around and remind him of what he did to Christians. And I believe that Paul asked the Lord three times to make that devil leave. And the Lord told him, forget it. He's there because the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, okay, I accept that, Lord. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And see, I can't prove that, but that's what I think. Some people think it was his eyesight, and some people think it was something else. The Bible doesn't say, but either way it was something physical, and it was something mental or whatever it was. It had to do with his person. Okay, so what are some characteristics of trials? Some can be physical. Some can be mental. And lastly, another characteristic of trials is that many come with rewards. Many come with rewards. And I don't think the Lord ever lets anything happen to us that he doesn't. Even if the Lord said, well done, what a reward, huh? But the Lord promises much more than that. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10 through 12, the Bible says, blessed are ye, or blessed are they, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Why do we sometimes go through trials? So that we can get rewards. So that the Lord can give us rewards. Isn't it wonderful to have a Lord that wants to reward us for doing what is our duty to do? So, there we go. Why do I sometimes go through trials? That's a little long, but good stuff. And good scripture, and what the Bible says. So if you're going through trials, there's lots of different reasons why it could be happening. But according to the Bible, I haven't read anything to where the Lord said, I mean, even in the chastening part, it was because he loves you. And it's because he wanted to make you better. The Lord doesn't do anything to us to destroy us. We're out of that category altogether, being in his family. The Lord's not going to punish us at all. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. The Lord's not ever going to condemn us again. Isn't that wonderful? Sure it is. Let me give you the scriptures. You ready? I finally remembered that, didn't I? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 22. John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 16, verse 33. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 12. Psalm chapter 66, verse 10 through 12. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Job chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, I'll just give you that. Job chapter 2, verse 3, I'll just give you that. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And then lastly, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Well, brothers and sisters, I know that was long and drug out, but it was worth it. God's Word is always worth it, and thank you for your patience in listening to this. And thank you for studying in the letter Q. This concludes our study of questions often asked. And our mighty and wonderful Lord rewards you for purposing to study His Word and honor Him. Let us go believing. And long study, and like I said, I think we had about almost 50 pages worth of material there, and lots and lots and lots of God's Word, and that's what we want. I hope that you've learned, and you probably got lots of questions too, that maybe we get in God's Word sometime and find out the answers. But you see, there's no questions that God's Word doesn't answer, and if it doesn't answer it, He didn't want us to know it, right? So this is study number 17, questions often asked, and in the next recording we will begin in the letter R, and we'll start that study number 18. So thank you so much for your patience, and thank you for learning God's Word, and the Lord greatly rewards you and put a roof over your head and pay your bills and answer your prayers for you and keep you healthy. God bless you and thank you. The Lord honors them that honor Him. And we do, don't we? God bless you. It's Brother Thurman of the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.